の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩目の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩。
This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all over the world gather and talk about and listen to talk about the team that has suddenly found a little bit of offense. Isn't that right, Jake?
Yeah, they're starting to put it together a little bit. Yokawa seems to have been sort of the shot in the arm the team needed, so let's just hope that this offensive onslaught continues because it looks like they're going to need it.
There we go with that word, hope again. Hey everybody, this is episode 82. Today is July the 4th. Happy America Day, everybody,
hey.
From a non-American. My name is T-Ray, and with me as always is Jake. It's good to have you back, and we are going to talk about these Hanshin Tigers. But right now, hey man, I think our streak is going to be hitting four today of days of recording a podcast on a day that ends up being a rain out because it is raining in Kansai again. I think rainy season is coming to an end, but there's a typhoon coming through, and that means that we're getting some strong winds along with those rains, and we could get rained out the next 2 days, as a matter of fact.
So I was thinking about this. In Japan, they have this saying, like, ame otoko, right? Like the man who brings the rain or something like
yes.
that. I don't know how you'd exactly translate it. I think that's what we are at this point. Like, whenever we podcast, our team gets rained out. So I don't know. Maybe we should start doing this on Mondays so it'll bring the rain on the off days and then we can actually play the games. But yeah, typhoons are coming in. The season starts as soon as rainy season ends. So I don't know. Yeah, it looks like we're going to have some rainouts coming up, and hopefully it doesn't wreak too much havoc on the schedule, but it looks like, yeah, we're going to have to contend with the weather for the foreseeable future here.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting September, though, with all the rescheduled games that they're going to have to patch in there and throw in there. We'll see how things go, but the regular season may end up going until the first week of October even. So anyhow,
if we have another mud bowl game like we did last year, I am jumping into the river in Osaka myself. So you can capture that one. Because I don't want to see that happen. I kind of wish they would start doing doubleheaders so we wouldn't have to do that. But
yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, that would also imply that, you know, we're going to have to be in second or first place. And that is going to be a challenge. But I'm not saying it's impossible. You know, all things are possible for a team that, again, has started to find its hitting. And let's get into some recaps right after the quick break. And we'll see how the hitting has been going. So, Jake, the last time that we recorded, we were one game short of finishing up Interleague, and we got rained out on that Wednesday, and this game ended up being played on a Thursday. Why don't you tell us about this last game between Oryx and us?
Yeah, well, we finished off our Interleague schedule with a tie, so I don't know which is more disappointing sometimes. It's almost like a tie is more disappointing than a loss in some cases. You just kind of want to see the game end in some fashion. But anyway, Baba came in. I believe it was his first start of the season. And he buckled down. He actually pitched really well. Itoi put up all the offense for us and even tied the game up in the ninth inning. But we couldn't score that last run in the last three innings. We finished the series off with a tie, which ends our interleague play with us in 11th place. We went six wins, 11 losses, and one tie. And interestingly, we finished up against Oryx, who is in second place of all things. So that sealed the deal on interleague play. It did not go nearly as well as we hoped. There's not much more to say about it, I don't think.
No, and I'm just going to throw this in right now before I forget. Speaking of Baba, On Sunday on the farm, they played these same Oryx Buffaloes, and Bubba was the starting pitcher, and he hit a mammoth home run, bro. It was pretty cool. I mean, I don't know if you saw the highlights of it, but full swing, and I think it might have reached like row 20 in the left field stands, the empty left field stands at Koshien. So it's pretty cool stuff. Anyways, exciting to see pitchers doing that, no matter what the level, to take a hack at a ball and to hit it a hole. You know, a mile.
Yeah,
so it's pretty
fun
stuff.
Well, it's funny. The media, of course, instantly starts calling him the next Shohei Ohtani. You know, the uh, the new two-way player or whatever. So if he does turn out that way, I, of course, would be very happy. But
no complaints
we'll
here, no.
Yep, yeah, let's, yeah. We'll take it one step at a time, I think.
Absolutely. So, Jake, for the third straight year, we jump out of Interleague and back into the fire of the Central League, which for most teams would be a relief, right? Like, we're playing against easier teams, so to speak. But we go up against the Carp, again, coming out of Interleague for the third straight season. And for the third straight year, ugly, 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 bro. You know, 2016, we lost three straight. 2017, we lost two and rained out one. And then this year, spoiler alert, three straight losses.
Man, what a rainout would have been really nice in this one, wouldn't it?
Yeah, right? Oh, and there was talk of it. I mean, it was kind of rainy and gloomy, but they ended up playing on Saturday.
You called it, man. You know, we were talking about how they always end up dropping these games to the Carp after Interleague, and sure enough, they did. So, yeah, go ahead and give us the bad news, man, about what happened.
Well, I mean, there's not really much to say. Akiyama, I think, gave up five runs before the Tigers' bats came to life on Friday, so we ended up losing 5-3. And then on Saturday, I think we were down 6-0 before we finally put up some runs. We put up three runs, and then they got five more late in the game to make it 11-3. And then on Sunday, I actually didn't watch this one, but just following the score from a distance, we were down 6-1. We put up like two runs, I think, in the seventh and then three in the eighth. But then in the top of the ninth, Dolis gave up five runs. And so we lost this one 11-6, despite it being a tie. So there was all this talk, like, why did Dolis come back so early? You know, he had just been deactivated and they brought him back in without having played any farm games. And then he ended up just a hot mess. You know, he gave up a Grand Slam home run to Seiya Suzuki. He had, I think, an error himself.
Yep.
Just didn't have great control of his pitches either, good command either. And so three-game sweep. I don't have anything more to say. I mean, this was a chance for us to really tighten up the standings at the top with us and the Carp being the front runners. But instead, what we did was we separated the Carp from everybody else. And it's been a logjam between second and sixth ever since.
Yeah, there's nothing else that I even want to talk about with this series. It was awful. I did watch it. I watched the Tigers tie it up at six in the last game. But I had a funny feeling something bad was going to happen, and I ended up not watching till the end. And I was quite happy that I made that decision later on. So, yeah, we'll put that one in the rearview mirror and move on to Yokohama.
So the last time that we played, I think, anyways, the Carp and the Bay Stars back-to-back was September of 2017. We went into Hiroshima and lost three straight. It was really heartbreaking and depressing. And then we came back to Koshien and faced the Bay Stars and won three straight. This time it was kind of the opposite. We played the Carp at Koshien and lost three straight. And then we went into Yokohama. And, Jake, take it away. Good news, please.
Yeah, we bounced back with a sweep. It was awesome. Game one, we had Vintage Randy on the mound.
Oh, man, incredible. Ended up,
yeah, he was great. Ended up winning this one 4-0 thanks to Yokawa. For the most part, he came into the game. You know, he's come up sort of in place of Rosario and has just torn it up completely. We'll talk about this a little more later, but yeah, he had a three-run home run in this one, I believe. Just powered the team on. Yeah, so we win this one 4-0. Game two was a little more interesting. Fujinami got the start. And got the win, actually, his second win of the season, despite giving up, he gave up five runs early on in the game. But yeah. Again, talk about the offense exploding. We just trounced DeNA. We actually put up seven runs in the ninth, so we gave them a real kicking in this one. And then game three was a bit more even, but the pitching comes through. Iwasada pitched really well. Dolis bounced back from that incredible implosion previously against the Carp. Help us to the 3-2 win. So we sweep DeNA, which is a really, really great thing after that awful series against the Carp. So yeah, it's weird, you know, it's this roller coaster ride with the Tigers right now. But, you know, if it means that we end up sweeping series like this, hey, I'll take it. You know, I mean, I would have preferred more offense against the Carp, but if we can do this against the other teams, then I think we got a chance. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you got to get your wins where you can. And it seems like Hanshin this year is able to get those wins against the DeNA Bay Stars. It's crazy. We are just having an incredible season. Mind you, you know, it helps that Randy Messenger has got four of his wins against them. And I think his ERA in those four games is like 0.6.
Yeah.
So, like, every time that we're facing the Bay Stars, give us some Randy, please.
Yeah, he owns them. He absolutely owns them. Yeah, so that was great to see. Yeah.
Hey, so one more thing of note in here, in that third game, Atsushinomi got his 100th career win with the Hanshin Tigers, and so that ties him for 10th on the all-time team list, right, with Gene Baki, who's also got 100 wins.
Yeah, great to see you, man. Again, like, we were hoping to see this, and when he was deactivated early on the season, I was sort of wondering, is he ever going to be back up, you know? But he's really settled into the relief role, and it's good because we need that. You know, Iwazaki is just having a rough season this year, so... Yeah, good on him, man. I'm glad to see it. It's great timing for him to come in and buckle down as well. So, yeah, congratulations to Nomi on that.
Absolutely. So that kind of washes away a little bit of the bad taste that was in the mouth of all Hanshin Tigers fans, where we closed off Interleague with two losses and a tie, and then we lost three straight to the Carps. So we had, like, we were winless in six games. We won three straight. And if we could win three straight against the Swallows, it would have given us six straight wins. And we were actually pretty close to that, everybody. Let's jump right into the Swallows series where, man, talk about a seesaw game on Friday. We end up losing this one 10-9, and the play of the game was undisputably the bottom of the seventh inning when Fumiya Hojo went to tag the runner who was going from second to third. He kind of staggered and he was unable to make the tag, and the runner, you know, completely left the base path. I mean, he was on the infield grass, but the umpire said Hojo didn't show intention to tag. As a result, the runner is safe. And that runner ended up scoring, and we ended up losing the game 10-9, so that was a really crucial run against us. So we kind of, you know, the win streak ends at 3. In our hearts, we're kind of going, that was ridiculous, that was unfair. And the bats took it out on Yakult pitching the next day to the tune of 15 runs. We won 15-7 quite handily. This game was also interesting in that Iwasada, he drilled Nori Aoki in the head with his seventh pitch, and he was ejected from the game. And so he didn't even record a single out. And fortunately for us, Hiroto Saiki came to the rescue, and he threw six strong innings. He didn't allow any of his own base runners to score. He had allowed one of Iwasada's base runners to score. But we ended up, as I said, we won this one 15-7. So thank you to Saiki, and thank you to those bats for just doing an incredible job.
Yeah, absolutely. In the first game, that Hojo play, I don't want to rant too much, so I'm not going to go on about it too much here, but man, oh man, that was just ridiculous. I was watching that and thinking, what was the umpire looking at this whole time? It certainly wasn't the ball game. I mean, because it was just, it was so clear that Hojo, on all the replays, it's so clear he was trying to tag the guy. And the guy was way outside of the base path. So, I don't know. I feel like they need to do something where the other umpires can come in and say, hey, you know, you need to reverse this play or something like that. Because this is just, it was just unacceptable. Terrible umping. And that was actually the difference in that game, too. Because if that play hadn't gone that way, then the two runs that scored after that probably wouldn't have scored, right?
Right.
And Navarro came in after that for his first... his first MPB at-bat as a pinch hitter, I believe, and drove in a run that was the ninth run for the Tigers. So the score would have been 9-8, and we probably would have won that game. So that was really the decisive play in that one. And it was, it was really rough to see that, you know, because it was clearly a botched call. And, you know, I know you and I had talked in private about how in the MLB they have the system where they can play a game under protest if something like that happens. I'm not absolutely sure if they have the same system in Japan, but I do know that Kanemoto submitted like a written opinion or something like that to the MPB after that, complaining about what happened. So I don't know if anything's going to come of that. But apparently there is some system where they can protest this, and they should, because that was a decisive play, and we should have won that game. So
they submit something that's called an ikensho, which, as you said, is basically like an opinion. Mm-hmm. It's just writing their opinion on the umpire's decision or the umpiring. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anything can actually be done about it. I mean, obviously the game is in the record books, and an example of a worse botched call came a couple of weeks earlier with Oryx and SoftBank, and I don't know if you caught wind of that. Akira Nakamura hit a foul ball in the top of the 10th inning or top of the 12th inning, one or the other, and the umpires called it foul. And the thing with the home run or fair foul calls on home runs is that those can be reviewed without a request from the other team's manager. So the umps reviewed it, and they said, no, actually, it was a home run. And the Oryx manager, Fukuda, was irate. He ended up, you know, checking the video after the game, and so did the umps. And the umps actually admitted their mistake. They said, oh, actually it was foul, but the game was in the record books and nothing could be done. So, I mean, that's a clear-cut example of the ump's bad call definitely influencing the outcome of a game, you know, home run or not. With ours, you know, like it was a force out, or pardon me, it was an out that was not called an out. But, you know, regardless of if that out had been recorded or not, we don't know what would have happened after that, because situationally the game would have been different. So, you know, that play did not directly affect the final score, but, you know, in essence it did, as he said. I mean, you could say that we lost the game because of that.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, let's move forward. Let's move on to the final game of this series against the Swallows. And in this one, we ended up taking a 6-0 lead early in the game, thanks to Shunsuke, thanks to Itohara, and thanks to Yokawa. And also Navarro with a bases loaded walks. So we got 6 runs in that inning. And then we just hung on tight and we ended up winning 6-5. So we gave up a run here, a run there. And even in the 9th inning, Dolis gave up a couple of runs in a real nerve wracking finale. But so we ended up taking 2 out of 3 in Jingu to end the week 5-1. Pretty impressive road trip.
Yeah, it's great. You know, you just hope you can keep that momentum going. We're going to need it, you know, because we've got the carb coming up before too long again. So yeah, we just got to try to, you know, stack up those wins as much as we can moving forward.
Yep, for sure. All right, let's talk about last night's game, which is the final one before we bring us right up to today.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, Big Mess was a bit of a big mess last night. He gave up 4 runs right off the bat in the top of the first, and ultimately finished the night. I believe he gave up was charged with all 10 runs.
Yes, one of them was unearned, but yeah.
Yeah, so if that doesn't spoil what the final score was for you, yes, unfortunately, we lost 10-5. Put up a run here and there throughout the game, and then added 2 more in the bottom of the 9th, but it's kind of hard to come back from a 10-3 deficit in the bottom of the 9th, so that was how that one ended, 10-3. Not a great way to start against the Dragons. You know, you also with Randy, I mean, our expectations of him are really high because he's our ace, obviously. So, but, you know, every ace, even aces have games like this where they just melt down. I'm sort of wondering if maybe this is the first game where we are sort of really into the summer heat, and Randy was sweating like a pig out there, too. So I wonder if maybe that didn't affect him a little bit. You know, it takes you maybe a little time to get into, to get sort of acclimated. But I don't know, you know, whatever it was, you know, he just didn't perform the way that he usually does. And that was kind of the game for us. So too bad. But hey, pick yourself up, dust yourself off. Hopefully we can take the remaining 2 out of the 3 against the Dragons as we move forward.
Provided they don't rain out. Yeah. Well, one more thing I just wanted to say about this is that, you know, like some of the hits that they got against Randy were pretty
cheap hits.
I mean,
yeah,
like, yeah. You know, they definitely were not barreling the ball very often. Vicieto, I think, got 3 lucky hits in a row. And, you know, when the guy in the heart of the lineup is doing that, either he's bringing runs in or he's keeping the momentum going. And I think that's really what did Randy in. I don't really think that he pitched awfully. I mean, his control was good. He still struck out 7. But they, you know, the ball was just dropping in the right spots, and you know, they might have gotten a couple of solid hits in there, or there might have been a couple of, you know, crucial plays that could have been avoided. But at the same time, it wasn't as though I really don't think that the 10 runs against him is an indication that he was a terrible pitcher on the day. More so that his luck was bad, and you know, there might have been a couple of untimely hits that really cost us.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, that's true. You know. Yeah. We'll just hope that, you know, he can get around that next time. Maybe, you know, maybe have his, maybe strike out guys a little bit more and not give him the chance to sort of get those sort of blue pits in there.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah, but, you know, I'm fairly confident. You know, we know what Randy is in terms of the pitcher, what he's capable of. So I'm not too worried about this one.
Right. Right. Okay, let's talk about our player of the month for the month of June, since this is our first podcast episode of July. So, on the month of June, as you know, we went 10 wins, 12 losses, and a tie. 2 games under 500, which in some ways is not as bad as the month seemed to go, as we were struggling to get through interleague play for sure, and then we got swept by the Carp. Still, we're 10-12-1, so not terrible. Believe it or not, in this Central League, if that put us in third place at the end of June. So who have you got for your hitter of the month for this past month, Jake?
I've got to go with Yokawa, man. I mean, he's just been amazing since he came up. I know you've got some specific numbers for us, but I'm just going to say, you know, it was sad to see Rosario go, obviously, but Yokawa came up and just really took over and was is pretty much been doing what everybody expected Rosario to do. Yokawa's flown under the radar for a long time, and I think he seems to be coming into his own now. I don't expect him to sustain this forever, but man, he has been exactly what the team has needed. I don't see how you could really give it to anyone else, so I'm going with Yokawa.
So I didn't know this, but he played in all but 4 games this month. He played in 19 games, which it seemed to me that he played in fewer, but yeah. I think maybe because a couple of them he came in as a pinch hitter. Anyways, his numbers. He batted .358. He had 3 home runs, 20 RBIs on 24 hits, and he also scored 8 runs and stole a base.
Yep.
And the telling number for me is this includes games right up until yesterday, but on the season he is batting .500 with runners in scoring position on a team where nobody else is batting like .260. Everyone else is under .260, and so he's you know, twice as good, if not better, in those situations than anyone else on the team. So I think that's a big factor in why we've been scoring a lot of runs lately, and a great choice for hitter of the month. Yep. I though am going to go with somebody else. I actually have a couple of guys that I would say are worthy of it. One of them being Yoshio Itoi, who had a very solid month. Just a, you know, a consistently good month for Itoi. He stole 6 bases. He hit 2 home runs. I think he knocked in about 18 runs. He batted around .300. So it was just a kind of a standard month for him, which is a very good month for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go with Kento Itohara for my hitter of the month. And so for the month of June, he batted .337. And in the leadoff spot, he scored 20 runs. He also hit 1 home run, and he walked more than he struck out, which I think is very important for a leadoff hitter. He had 17 walks on 14 strikeouts. And for a second-year player, that's pretty impressive patience at the plate.
Yep.
So I really think that he is crucial to our success, especially if he's batting in that one slot. So I'm going to give it to Itohara.
Absolutely. Yeah, those are both good choices, too. Itoi seems to come through when you need him to. So, yeah, absolutely. I say he would be a good runner-up, too. And, yeah, can't argue about Itohara, man. He's getting it done in the leadoff spot. So hopefully he keeps that going for the foreseeable future.
Absolutely, yeah. All right, let's move on then to our pitcher of the month. And interestingly, we didn't have a lot of great starters this month. Our starters got rocked pretty badly on the whole. But who have you got for pitcher of the month, Jake?
Well, like we said earlier, Nomi gets his 100th win, and I've just got to say, I got to give it to him based on that alone. We've watched Nomi pitch for so long, and you know, always we're hoping that we were going to see him get that 100th win this season. At the beginning of the season, though, when he was just not performing as a starter, he gets sent down, and that was kind of up in the air. But now he gets it, and I got to say, he's sort of been the face of the Tigers in some ways for a long time now. So just as a congratulatory thing, I'm going to say, yeah, Nomi for the 100th win. It's great to see it, and hopefully he can keep contributing in the relief role that he has settled into so well so far.
Well, and, you know, as we've talked about, our bullpen hasn't been what it was last year, and especially the lefties. Akifumi Takahashi got sent down to the farm for a while. Iwazaki is now down on the farm, so the two lefties that we counted on so much last year have not really been performing very well. So Nomi, just to give you some numbers, for the month of June, 10 mound appearances, 11 innings pitched, 11 strikeouts, 1 run against for an ERA of .82.
There it
and
is.
And 2 big wins. So there you have it. Yeah, I will take that. That makes him worthy of pitcher of the month, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to give a runner-up or an honorable mention to another reliever, another old reliever, as a matter of fact. That would be Kyuji Fujikawa, who also pitched 10. He had 10 mound appearances. He only went 10 innings, only 10. And he struck out 11, just like Nomi, and he gave up just 1 run. And in fact, his 1 run against, sorry to say this, Jake, but his 1 run against allowed for Nomi to get his 100th win, because he gave up the game-tying home run against the Bay Stars. Nomi was the next guy in, and then we got the go-ahead run. So if QG had been able to hold that lead, I think the win would have gone to somebody else.
I'll give QG my runner-up too, I guess.
So that's a true setup man right there. He set up the win. Thank you, QG, for that. But I'm going to give my pitcher of the month to someone that I think maybe got our attention in May as well. And that would be Yuta Iwasada, who has really just found a new level with his pitching. He did have a rough final outing of June against the Carp, but in his five mound appearances, he went 27 and a third innings, and he struck out 26. He gave up seven runs for an ERA of 2.3. An ERA of 2.3 in five games with a complete game. Guess how many wins he got? Zero. Mm-hmm. Can you believe that? Yeah. Still, definitely nice to see him back to where he was in 2016. And so my hat's off to Iwasada. He's my pitcher of the month. Punching Tigers English News. Punching Tigers English News. Punching Tigers English News. Punching Tigers English News. Okay, let's talk a little bit of news before we jump into the hot topic. And so we've touched on some of them. One of them was that Nomi reached 100 wins, so congrats on that. The Baba home run was also a big thing. We talked about that a little bit. We also talked about Efren Navarro making his debut and getting an RBI hit in that. He's got a couple of RBI, but he's kind of been struggling. I think he's got two hits in 11 at-bats, I want to say.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, he's batting 182 right now with three strikeouts and yeah, 11 at-bats, 11 official at-bats. So, yeah. You know, he's you sort of figure it's going to take him a little while to settle into. So we'll see, you know, how things go. But he, you know, again, as I mentioned last time, this is sort of a trial by fire for this guy. Like he got what, like just a couple of games in on the farm before he was thrown three, right into the, three games. Right. So now he's thrown right up against, you know, the, Ichigun teams here. It's, I figure it's going to take him a little while to settle in, but I don't know. We'll just have to sort of wait and see how he, you know, responds to the pitching that's, that he's going to be facing coming up.
Well, I think, you know, not that we can expect Yokawa to maintain this, you know, level of excellence or anything like that, but as long as the guys around him are hitting well, I think it takes a little bit of the pressure off of him. And that was one of the issues with Rosario, unfortunately. You know, Rosario did not even start the year very well, but that was hidden by the fact that some other guys were hitting well, for example, Oyama. And then when Oyama cooled off and even Itoi went into a bit of a slump, and Rosario continued to slump, all of a sudden the focus was on him. And so if the guys around him can hit well, I think Navarro will be fine, even if he bats around 200 or 200 and like 230, 250 for the first little while. You know, of course, that's not acceptable in the long haul.
Yep. Well, we'll just have to wait and see how he does. But yeah.
So we talked a little bit about Oyama earlier, his problem with hitting in the clutch on the top squad, and also the fact that he started the year well, then struggled. Well, he got sent down to the farm probably around the time that we last recorded, or maybe it was a bit before. Anyways, down on the farm, man, he was having himself a great time. He played in 10 games and batted 371, hit three home runs in those 10 games, and just looked great. I mean, his OPS, for what it's worth, was 1.168, which is extremely elite. It's a great number. And so there you go. Like, he was getting on base at a 425 clip. Pretty incredible stuff. And even Rosario was doing reasonably well on the farm. In 15 games, he was batting 309 with four home runs. And his OPS was around 909, which is also quite good. And so these two guys who are expected to do well in the top squad were getting it done on the farm. And hopefully Yano and Hamanaka and even Arai Ryota can help them turn things around. Yes, even him.
Yeah.
But, you know, we see Oyama got called up and he hit into a rally-killing double play last night. So I just... I wonder, man, I wonder if mentally he just doesn't quite have what it takes in those situations that he's got the chance to be the hero or to build up a name for himself. He just seems to shrink under pressure. Hopefully he won't. But, you know, it's just good to see that guys, when they do get sent onto the farm, they kind of show who they really are, and they are showing that they are excellent players, just that they need to be able to do it at the top level a little bit more often.
Yeah, definitely. I saw that last night with Oyama as well, and I was just like, oh no, please no, we can't have this going on, you know. There is a big gap between the Nigun and the Ichigun, you know, but
absolutely.
It's not, yeah, it's, I don't know, like you said, it seems like it's more mental than anything, though, because it's not that big, you know. You should be able to at least carry some of that momentum into the Ichigun, I think, as well. But I don't know. We'll have to, again, I'm patient with Oyama. I mean, you sort of have to be, because you know that Kanemoto isn't going to send him down again anytime soon. So you just hope that he sort of gets over that little by little and can be the player that we all sort of know he can be. Rosario, unfortunately, got some bad news. He seems to have hurt his lower back, and so he is not traveling with the Nigun team. They're heading down to the Hiroshima area, but he is staying in Naruohama, apparently, to do his own sort of training session, probably a little bit of a lighter schedule as he tries to get over this injury. So I don't know what that portends for him, you know, moving forward in terms of coming back up to the top squad. Hopefully it's nothing serious and he can get back into regular play soon and come up again and make a contribution. But at this point, it's hard to say.
My guess would be best case scenario, we see him back after the All-Star break. But, you know, again, like, I'm no doctor and I haven't read any real detailed reports about his back. So sometimes back injuries take a couple of days and sometimes they take a couple of months. So it's really hard to say.
Yeah. Other injury news, too, unfortunately. Yes. We got some really bad news and you can talk about that now.
Well, Yoshio Itoi got drilled by a pitch. Interestingly, the day after Iwasada hit Aoki in the head, Itoi got drilled in the knee. Some people say that it was accidental. Some people say it was revenge for Aoki. And then besides that, I think another Yakko player got hit earlier in that game. But either way, Itoi apparently has a broken or a fractured bone. I've heard very differing reports. Some say that it's a similar bone to what Randy fractured last season. Mm-hmm. Some people are saying that it was more the knee area. Mm-hmm. Some are saying that he's going to try to get back in time for the All-Star game, which he was named to. Some people are saying it's going to take 2 to 3 months for him to come back. And the most recent report that I read says that Kanemoto believes it's going to take at least a month. So any way you look at it, though, I mean, this is the kind of injury that you probably don't want to rush a guy back from. And so I would expect that at the very least, we may not see Itoi back until the road of death in August, maybe even like towards the end of that trip. You just never know.
Yeah, and this one hurts. The other thing, too, is, I mean, I believe, I might be mistaken, but I believe, I mean, Itoi has had knee problems before, right? I'm not sure if it was his right or not, but I believe it was his right knee. As well, so you sort of wonder if this is going to exacerbate a problem that was maybe sort of dormant. I really hope not, but either way, you know, not having him in our lineup is not good. He's really contributed a lot, as we talked about earlier. He's kind of been the one guy who has been really steady this season, so to have him gone now is going to be a big gap that somebody's going to need to fill somehow. So hopefully there's somebody can come in and sort of, you know, pick up a little bit of that slack. But it's a real bummer. Yeah, you never want to see anybody, you know, go down to injury, but especially not a star player like him.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, final bit of news is about the All-Star nominations, and we've kind of hinted at it a little bit throughout this podcast, but Itoi was named to the All-Star team by his fellow baseball players. There's, I guess, like a player vote, and he got voted in through that. And then three guys got chosen by the manager, and I believe this year's All-Star manager is Alex Ramirez, because he represented the Central League. He and the Bay Stars represented the Central League in the Japan Series, which makes him the manager. Mm-hmm. So he named Kento Itohara to his first All-Star game, mm-hmm. Yuta Iwasada to his second All-Star game. He also was on the 2016 All-Star team. And for the first time in his 9-year career, Randy Messenger. He's been waiting a long time for this honor to be on that team. And I think it's really exciting. I mean, you know, this shows that he is among the elite. Well, that's something we knew anyways, but this shows the rest of baseball that he is among the elite of the Central League pitchers. And really, I mean, for most of the last 9 years, you know, there were a few pockets of struggles or whatever. But other than that, for 9 years, man, he has been solid as a rock. And so it's good to see him get that recognition.
Yeah, he should have been in there a long time ago, I think, too. But hey, he's in there now. It's good to see. He really deserves it. But to be honest, you know, all three of the guys that Ramirez picked really deserve it. Randy, most of all, of course. But as we said, Iwasada's been amazing this year, and Itohara as well. So I think, you know, Ramirez knows that having these guys on his team is going to be a big advantage for him. So I think he made the right decision. And congratulations to all three of them. But, you know, especially Randy, again, you know, he's sort of been the face of the Tigers in terms of the pitching staff for a long time. Although I know I called Nomi that as well earlier, but what the heck? I'm inconsistent. But, you know, he's just been, you know, Mr. Tiger for a long time now. And good to see him in there. He deserves it. And I think he's going to do really well in the game.
Absolutely. I mean, it's going to be fun, and it gives us a reason to actually watch the game.
Yeah, which we didn't really have otherwise, right? We didn't have we don't have too much of a representation this year, unfortunately. So.
Right. Yeah. All right. Let's jump into the hot topic. And I want to talk about the recent offensive explosion, because this team has really started to produce some runs, and it's been really interesting to watch baseball again. You know, even on the days that we've lost, like if we go back to June 24th against the Carp when we lost 11-6, we put up those six runs and we actually came back from a 6-1 deficit to tie the game. And from that day, we've gotten 6, 4, 16, 3, 9, 15, and then in July, 6, and last night, 5. So quite a boatload of runs when you compare that. Let's say if we go back into May, where we had some real struggles soon after Golden Week. Let me read you this stretch of run scoring for us from May the 9th. Yes. 1, 2, 1, 1, 2, 0, 3, 2, 2, 1. That's a ridiculous stretch. I mean, we almost scored more runs in one game recently than we did in that 10-game
set. The entire one, yeah.
So the question is, what's up with the recent explosion in runs? Like, what can we attribute this to? Any factors that you can think of, Jake?
Well, I think the main thing at this point, I mean, the Carp series, you know, sort of setting that aside, I think, you know, we played DeNA and we played the Swallows, which are both teams that, honestly, they're not that great. Like DeNA's down around the base. I mean, the Central League's kind of a logjam now anyway, but DeNA's down, what, I think in fifth place now. They've been kind of getting beat up lately. And the Swallows, although, you know, they had a great time in Interleague, you know, we talked about this a little bit before, they're probably playing a little bit beyond their actual talent, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And so I don't think they're that great a team. So maybe for the past couple of series, I think they've just been playing against teams that aren't really that good. But the only other thing I could think about, I think that's probably the main thing. And this, the only other thing I could think about here is pretty much speculation on my part, but, you know, having someone like Yokawa come up and start to hit really well, you know, maybe it's sort of the shot in the arm that the team sort of needs. Like, hey, we can actually, if we swing, we can actually do this, swing away and, you know, get some extra base hits and stuff like that. So that might be a factor there. But for the most part, I think it's more just playing teams that aren't, you know, top tier teams. So the test, I think, for me really is going to see what they do in the next couple of weeks here, especially when they go up against the Carp again. But that's what I'm going to say. It's the second tier team series is the main factor right now.
Well, I'm going to piggyback on that. Not only a second tier team, but we are facing their second tier pitching. So against the Bay Stars, we did not face Joe Wieland or Hamaguchi, or I think we faced Imanaga in the Thursday game, but we also didn't face Azuma, their star rookie, who also made the All-Star team. You know, instead we faced Edison Barrios, we faced Satoshi Iizuka, and then we faced a struggling Shota Imanaga for the Bay Stars. And against the Swallows, well, the Swallows' starting pitchers are really not that good to begin with. They've got like two good starters, and we faced neither of them. And so I think that's a factor as well. Hey, so another factor that I believe is making a difference is that we played in two ballparks that are known as hitting parks after all. You know, we go in for three at Yokohama Stadium, and we play really well there all the time. And then after that, we went to Jingu, which is also a very narrow, very small park. And so now we're back at Koshien, and even though we're facing the Dragons and the Bay Stars again, I anticipate we're going to see maybe a slightly different team. I certainly hope that we're able to put up some good, you know, good numbers, but I don't think that we're going to necessarily hit double digits in runs scored over the upcoming week.
Yeah, Well, I mean, even Shunsuke was talking about, he had two home runs over that time period. And even he sort of said, I feel like I kind of got lucky with those, because he really didn't get the barrel of the bat on him really well. They kind of just popped him out of the park, sort of. So I think that's a factor, too. Yeah, Koshien's the test, right? I mean, because that's where it's much deeper. You got the Hamakaze, you know, the seaside breeze coming in and everything. So we'll see if the team can continue it. I think that's going to be the real test to see if our teams are legit as well. So.
Well, and the fact that we are 14-19-1 so far at Koshien this season is really indicative of the fact that it's the bats that are costing us a lot of these games. At least that's the way that I feel. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, though, one more thing that I read in the news. This is the first time this past three games at Koshien that the team has ever allowed double-digit runs in three straight Koshien games.
Yeah.
So you have to bridge back to the Carp series where we gave up double digits in two and then last night with the 10. But pretty bad stuff. I think it's just a fluke, and I don't think that it's going, you know, a streak that's going to continue, and I don't think that it's something that's going to happen again for many, many years, if ever again. So,
what's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction.
What's going to
All right, well, let's jump ahead and just look at the schedule that is to come. And here we go. As we said, we have got a couple of games against the Dragons. Both of those are going to be at Koshien, but both of those might end up being rained out. Then we've got three at Koshien against the Bay Stars. And, you know, we're actually calling for rain in the forecast all week. So it's really hard to say. I mean, if the rain is really light, or if, you know, if this amazing grounds crew is able to make something of the field, we may play this weekend. But it also depends on the typhoon, you know, which way it veers and how much rain it dumps on us. Mm-hmm. And then we go to Hiroshima for three just before the All-Star break. And those will be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And so we're supposedly playing 9 games in 9 days. But we'll see if that ends up happening.
Yeah, we might end up with some Mud Bowl games again this time around, because I know they're not going to want to just cancel every game day after day here. So we'll see. Hopefully it holds off enough to make the not only the games playable, but so they're not miserable conditions too. You know, you don't want to see people getting injured because they're sliding around in the mud and everything. But I'm gonna say we need to, because the Carp, honestly, they did drop 2 to DNA recently, but they swept the Giants before that, and they're just a good team. And
they're really good at home, too.
They're really good at home, and they tend to own us anyway. So I'm going to say that what we need to do really before we face them is really win the rest of the games against Chunichi, you know, take the remaining 2, and then take at least 2 from DNA, just to sort of pad our, to put some space between us and the cellar before we go in against the Carp. I think that's the bare minimum, because I think that we're going to probably drop 2 out of the 3 at least to the Carp. Although I'm not sure exactly who's scheduled to pitch, and that might change depending on what rainouts we get.
But we
got to do well against these sort of cellar dweller teams before we go in against the top dog in the league. We just have to do it.
You nailed it. Absolutely. And then right after the All-Star game, we're going to be playing 3 games against the Yomiuri Giants at Koshien. And 2 of those will take place probably before our next recording date. And so there you have it. I'm hoping that we can take at least 1 of those 2. And then I plan to be at the Wednesday game.
Nice.
So one announcement before we end today's program, and my 1-year-old son comes in the room. Do you want to say something, Alex?
Hello.
Hello, Alex. We got a new co-host here, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. This is our third guy on the show now. So welcome to the show, my son. It's good to have you here. So as I was saying, we've got a Kickstarter campaign with H10. And so if you want to head to the homepage, you will find the details there. Or if you go to Kickstarter and look for it there. It would be great to have some support, some sponsorship for the podcast and for the show, for the website. So the details are there, and the campaign runs until July the 23rd. So you've still got some time, but also don't put it off until it's too late. There's some cool rewards in there as well. So,
okay, I'm just going to tell everyone that if you don't get in there and get the stuff, I'm going to get in there and get it. So, first come, first serve kind of thing. I will
absolutely
wait. I'll wait until the very end to give everybody else a chance first, but you better get it because I'm in there after. So
jump in and beat Jake to the punch. Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for, once again, your time and passion for the Tigers. Passion is a very important part of this team. And in good times and bad times, that passion comes out in different ways, as I learned this week. Anyways, you can find this podcast, extra news, articles, and more at www.thehunchingtigers.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. As always, type in those four magic words, Hanshin Tigers, English News, and you'll find us there. Subscribe, write a review, and share with your friends and enemies. Get all the news instantly by following us on Facebook, a really fun place to read about the Tigers. Hanshin Tigers English News there as well. If you feel inclined to do so, you can even write a review on that Facebook page. I accept everything, good, bad, and ugly. Also, you can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at The Hanshin Tiger, I should say, and or. Anyways, until next time, everybody, keep on cheering as these Tigers put up some incredible runs the rest of the way. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Go Tigers.